Yo, today is December 2nd, 2022. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, the color breaking news, culture, memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. And that's exactly what we're living through right now. The legacy media, once again, another hit piece on Nayib Bukele. Unfortunately, though, because they've been releasing so many of these, we've been building a catalog. And it's crazy how they treat the different parties, right? They treat SBF in a certain way because he isn't a threat to the establishment. And then they treat Nayib Bukele, who is the president of, you know, you gotta be realistic, right? Who's the president of a pretty poor country in Latin America. No one was talking about El Salvador before the Bitcoin law. And then all of a sudden, right, you know, the legacy media and government as well, all of a sudden El Salvador is this big problem. And you got to think about it. Like, why is that? Like, why is that the case? Well, because if Nayib Bukele is right, if the Bitcoin experiment works, then there is a viable alternative to the current system. And that is a very big problem for them because they get a tremendous amount of power and control over the world with the current system. And that's why they're releasing all of this. You got to call it for what it is, propaganda. So that being said, I want to break all of that down. Now, what I think is something alarming is El Salvador hasn't really released any type of proof of reserves for the amount of Bitcoin that they've purchased. We've been having to take Nayib Bukele's word for it. So I think that is an issue worth talking about. I think it's worth, you know, I think it's easy to solve as well. But all the other BS, it really is just that. It's BS. It's a distraction. And again, if they treated everyone fairly, okay, you'd say, okay, you know, maybe they're just trying to do a good job. But the fact that they're giving some people the special treatment, even though they've literally stolen billions of dollars, I'm talking about SBF, and then they treat Nayib Bukele another way, even though we know for a fact he's increased the GDP of his country and he's reduced crime, right, tells you that there's clearly something more malicious here. But before we get to all that, I want to introduce my awesome co-host. I know it's a long intro, but I had to prep it, bro, because we are going to dig deep today. Optimus Fields, how you doing, bro?
Good intro. They were talking about the similar things in the chat before the show started. So I think everyone's going to be very, very excited and happy to get Nico Jones on the case. So
what are the culture? What are we doing?
Oh, the culture. Yes, in the culture. I know you guys have been seeing all these AI chat GPT things going around. Well, there was one explaining Bitcoin. And not only did I think it was interesting, but it's kind of good. So we're going to cover it and then we're going to talk about it. So
hell yeah.
It's going to be a good day.
All right, let's start the show. Let's do this. We got a lot to cover. It's going to be a great show.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is sitting pretty at $16,964. Opportunity to step coin under 20K. You will be wishing you had this opportunity a couple weeks from now. Sats per dollar, we're sitting pretty at 5,895. Block height, 765,620. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 14,488. Blocks of the halving, 74,380. Halving estimate, April 24th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,080. Bitcoin capacity value, $86 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.77%. Market capitalization, $326 billion. So in the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin's a tiny little baby, right? So right? Just the market cap of gold is 11 trillion, right? We're sitting at 300 billion. Anyways, so what I wanted to cover today was something that I started to notice. And again, it's the rules for thee, but not for me. It's the normalization of theft, right? And we were touching upon this yesterday. We were basically making the case as to why I believe this is fiat. But this is Stacey Herbert, and she's reading it. She tweeted this quote. The quote says, "When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it." Right. And here is a video. We'll play it for you guys as well. Right. Of just these people going into an Apple store in California. And they're just stealing things off the shelves and no one does anything.
All right, you got to back up, man.
So they're literally just taking things off the shelf. No one does anything, right? If you would have done that, like, you know, literally 10 years ago, they would have, you know, laid you out. They would have shot you, right? It's kind of de-incentivized that, right? And then, but this rings so true, right? What Stacey was saying in this quote, right? So could it be, right, that the people at the top echelon of society are basically doing this, they're normalizing it in their head, and maybe that could be a reason as to why they literally turn the other way when this happens, right? Fiat, look, think about money, right? Money is half of every transaction. It really has to do with everything in your life. Look, the roof over your head, the food, right? It doesn't have to do with family and health and all that stuff. But think about it. Money is important. And if the money is based on theft, right? Why wouldn't it affect the psychology of that society as a whole? Right. And I think that's something really important to talk about. And again, the double standards, right? Here's Stefan Geiger. He says the IRS is warning Americans that the tax season, they must report payments on Venmo, PayPal, and Zelle of over $600. Meanwhile, the Pentagon just failed its fifth audit in a row as they were unable to account for 61% of their $3.5 trillion in assets, $800 billion annual budget. Going after billionaires, right? So again, like, and same with the media. It's a different set of rules for different sets of people, right? And this is the money printer, right? Well, why would they want to audit the money that they're printing, right? And remember that the money that they're printing isn't just coming out of thin air. It's coming out of everyone's pockets, right? It's like indirect theft. That's what inflation is, right? So inflation is literally breaking down the morality of society. And we're witnessing it right before our eyes. But this time, right, and I think that's like kind of the silver lining in all this, we as individuals have a way of opting out of that madness. Now, what's really interesting is that either the company, whether this is MicroStrategy or the country, El Salvador, or the individuals, I could speak about myself, Opti, I know Opti's life pretty well too, right? The moment that you've opted out of that fiat standard and you've gone to a Bitcoin standard, for one reason or the other, all of a sudden, your life starts to improve, right? Truth starts to become important again, right? You kind of go back to these values that I think are naturally ingrained in you, but I think that fiat has chipped away over the decades, bro, you know? And I wish that the world goes on this standard in the future. And CK, you know, beautifully says that analogy of an operating system. Could you imagine the world upgrading to this operating system that's based on truth, right? It's based on property rights for all versus a system that is based on lies and theft. And that's exactly the current financial system. So yeah, man, I think that society is going to keep degrading the more that money keeps being disconnected from reality. And I think that this is just the natural order of things, man. So anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, we've definitely covered on this show multiple times the effects of fiat and those effects on our psychology and society at large. And if you want, you know, if you want to read it instead of just hearing it, go read the Fiat Standard. It gets into all those effects and the second, first, third order effects of all this stuff happening on our society. And we say it all the time on the show, you know, inflation steals your energy, inflation steals your future, and it degrades society. And here we are, you know, to Stacey's point, it really does seem like we are at that point in the movie. And it's something you and I have kind of been talking about. It's like Fiat is so fake that we are just living in this superficial plastic world, and Bitcoin is that pillar of truth, and Bitcoin has a way of bringing you back into the natural order of things. And like we say all the time, you know, changes your psychology and your perspective on the future. It makes you hopeful. It makes you want to participate in society. It makes you want to add to society and provide value for your fellow man so that you can stack more sats. So it's a very interesting psychological experiment that we're all going through. Not only is it a monetary experiment, but we are all feeling these effects for ourselves as Bitcoiners. And this is, man, I like I say it all the time, I am very excited to see this these effects ripple out into society at large, and everyone around us starting to become even or more like Bitcoiners, or Bitcoiners themselves, whether directly or indirectly. Bitcoin has a way of disciplining human behavior and making us act in a better way. It's a really strange phenomenon that we are all a part of. But man, it's really crazy that we are seeing the degradation of society at such a fast level. And, you know, seeing things like that, just letting people steal property is just, it's absolutely insane that this is where we are right now. So,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So,
be better. I don't know how else to add it.
But. No, 100%. Like, literally, be better. And I think Bitcoin does fix this. It's one of those things. Bitcoin fixes this. But anyways, let's get to the news. I'm excited. We have a ton to talk about today. We have a lot of stories to break down. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All right, everybody. So I want to talk about double standards, right? And framing is important. We've explained to you guys this concept of framing that the media does all the time, right? So I'm just going to read, compare and contrast these two headlines. This is New York Times says, quote, I screwed up. Sam Bankman-Fried is challenged on the collapse of FTX. Right. That's how they frame it. Right? They start with, look, I screwed up. Right. Just a screw up, you know, stealing billions of dollars. But it's not only, you know, the written form. It's also the video form of the legacy corporate media. Let's check out this clip.
Bankman-Fried is really becoming the industry's lifeline during a crisis lately. I'm fascinated, endlessly fascinated with Sam Bankman-Fried's role in all of this.
You've been now described as the JP Morgan, if you will, of the crypto business.
A lot of people called you the savior of crypto, the patron saint of crypto, the Michael Jordan of crypto, if you will.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Sam Bankman-Fried, the JP Morgan of
Fried, SBF, JPM.
Do you know SBF? I think it's cool that the guy has just initials, SBF.
Some on Twitter calling him the hero right now of the industry. There's comparisons to Warren Buffett back in the financial crisis. Or if you go way back, JP Morgan in the panic of 1900.
So forget about Michael Saylor. Forget about Nayib Bukele. No. It's a shitcoin exchange founder who created money out of thin air, which is the FTT token. And he basically rug pulled, I think it was like a million creditors last time I saw. Billions of dollars literally evaporate overnight. He is JP Morgan. He is all this stuff. They're still making excuses for him. The Wall Street Journal invited him to a summit, which I think is really telling, with Janet Yellen and the president of Ukraine. And he got a round of applause at the end. Now, compare and contrast how they frame Nayib Bukele in the media, right? This is a report by Reuters. It's a special report. It's not only a regular article. It's a special report, which is why I wanted to cover it today.
because if we don't rebook it, no one will. Anyways, so says trolls, propaganda, and fear stoke Bukele's media machine in El Salvador. We've been talking about this concept of projection for a minute now, right? We did it with the ECB when they came out with a hit piece on Bitcoin, on why it was bad, why Bitcoin was evil. And we said they're projecting onto us what it is they are themselves. And I think that this article, this entire article, they're projecting onto El Salvador and Nayib Bukele, of which they didn't even realize existed 5 years ago before the Bitcoin law, of which they are guilty of themselves. Anyways, let's check out some of the article. It says a Salvadorian 20-something that had been looking for work when an unexpected invitation arrived to sit down with a government official. It was 2019. The communications specialist was well-versed in social media. Talks with the official led to a $600 a month in the capital of San Salvador, working for the communications team of President Bukele, according to the employment contract signed by Reuters. It was a decent amount of money in this poor Central American nation. Quote, I didn't know when I signed the contract, but I made a pact with the devil. The communications specialist, quote, I became a pro Bukele troll. Mind you, this is the third paragraph in. It literally says, I didn't know when I signed the contract, but I made a pact with the devil. That is what they're resorting to. Nayib Bukele is a fucking devil, okay? Those are not my words. That is what I'm reading from Reuters. Anyways, goes on to say, Bukele vowed to crack down hard on violent criminal gangs and corruption and to battle entrenched interests. Has he not done that? Has he not done that? Right? They're acting as if that's a bad thing. Like, isn't that the job of the president? Those are the things that he promised during his campaign, of which why he was elected? I don't understand. Anyways, goes on to say, these workers were cogs in what has become a powerful communications operation that has allowed Bukele to what Salvadorians read, watch, and hear about their government like no previous leader of this small nation of 6.5 million people in the internet age. Bukele's administration also has beefed up resources for traditional state-owned news outlets, which broadcast a steady stream of pro-Bukele content via print, television, and radio. Government media now ranks among the sources most trusted by Salvadorians, according to a May 2022 study by the private Francisco Gaviria University in San Salvador. Goes on to say, the president has likewise become a gatekeeper. Ooh, you hear that word? Remember what we've been telling you about the internet, guys. The internet has allowed individuals to talk directly with each other, so therefore it allows them to circumvent the gatekeepers of information. And the same thing is happening with money. You remove the intermediary, and now Bitcoin is allowing peer-to-peer transactions, removing the gatekeeper, removing the intermediary. But it's very interesting, especially if you believe in this concept of projection, that they're using the words themselves. So far, they've said Nayib Bukele is a devil, and they've mentioned the word gatekeeper. And we haven't even really dug deep into the article, but it's really interesting. Goes on to say, disseminating some key government policies through his Twitter account. Bukele's media machine is drawing concern in Washington. February 2022 internal U.S. Department document seen by Reuters set out to map a Bukele's manipulation of El Salvador's media landscape. His strategy, it says, is to flood El Salvador with propaganda, demonize the institutions charged with debunking that propaganda, the free press and civil society, dominate public narratives, and represent dissent. That is pure projection from the fucking State Department. Okay, that is literally what they are doing themselves. Right now, let's compare and contrast. Let's look back in time, and this was in May. Joe Biden's Ministry of Truth, the Biden administration's Department of Homeland Security, which is a law enforcement agency, I might add, announced this week that it has launched what is being dubbed a disinformation governance board to combat misinformation. Isn't that a propaganda arm? How is this any different? Well, I can tell you why it's different. Because El Salvador and the Bitcoin law is a threat to the powers that be. So whatever they say has to be misinformation, has to be propaganda. The only thing they have left is control of the narrative. I'm going to read you a passage from Stop Drinking the Elite's Kool-Aid, which is an article by Nayib Bukele in Bitcoin Magazine. I think it explains it perfectly. It says, the most vocal detractors, the ones who are afraid and pressuring us to reverse our decision, are the world's powerful elites and the people who work for or benefit from them. They used to own everything, and in a way they still do. The media, the banks, the NGOs, the international organizations, and almost all the governments and corporations in the world. And with that, of course, they also own the armies, the loans, the money supply, the credit ratings, the narrative, the propaganda, the factories, the food supply. They control international trade and international law. But their most powerful weapon is the control of the truth. And that is exactly what these types of articles serve as. They're literally accusing him of something that they do themselves. Literally, word for word. It's absurd, man. It goes on to say, and they're willing to fight, lie, smear, destroy, censor, confiscate, print, and do whatever it takes to maintain and increase their control over the truth and everything and everyone. So let's kind of back up a little bit, right? So Joe Biden's Ministry of Truth, right? You know, you guys were apolitical on this show, but it is what it is, right? And to kind of go back, IRS wanting to surveil American $600 transactions, but 61% of the $3.5 trillion that the Pentagon has is unaccounted for. So what do you think rings more true to you? What Nayib Bukele is saying in the Bitcoin Magazine article or what this propaganda hit piece is saying? Anyways, repressive governments have long taken aim at press freedom. Disinformation is flourishing around the globe. Still, a senior U.S. official said Bukele's strategy is particularly dangerous because it offers a coherent playbook for what would-be autocrats to follow. Quote, the strategies could be used by other nations in other regions. What about weapons of mass destruction? What about that? Remember, there is no inflation. What about that? What about that? These people are psychopaths. Oh, that's another thing they projected onto us. Remember when they called us psychopaths? Freaking crazy. Anyways, glowing domestic media coverage has helped the president consolidate his power base and weather several scandals, including allegations of graft in his administration. Bukele has denied wrongdoing. Goes on to say, an October 2022 Gallup poll asked people in 13 Latin American countries to rate their presidents. It showed Bukele with an 86% approval rating in El Salvador, making him the most popular leader in the region. Conservative Fox News host Tucker Carlson, which we covered yesterday, expressed similar admiration in a recent interview with Bukele that aired on November 1st, in which he credited the president for reducing crime. So, again, isn't it the point of a president to improve the country? You take a look at the GDP numbers. El Salvador is having record GDP growth. This goes back all the way to 1966, a record GDP growth of 10.8%, which is absolutely massive. And then think about it, right? They're saying, right, that Nayib Bukele is consolidating power. But if you take a look at what happened in the United States and put politics aside, they're irrelevant, right? A sitting president did get deplatformed. Like, and then this Vox article is trying to make a justification for that, saying kicking people off social media isn't about free speech. And then all of this kind of reminds me of this Twitter thread that I made a couple days ago. And to my surprise, it actually got pretty popular. And I'm kind of explaining basically why all of this is happening. Like, what is going on, why this is happening, why they're freaking out the way they do, and why they're so hell-bent on keeping that narrative control on Twitter. And you saw it, right? You saw it from the European Union. They're coming out and they're saying, hey, Elon Musk can't allow free speech because this is the regulations that we're trying to impose. And then you really have to think about it. Like, why are they so butthurt? Why are they so butthurt when people started getting Twitter blue? What was happening there? Like, what was going on, right? And this this thread, I tried to make light of it. I said, the reason the legacy corporate media had a meltdown when Elon allowed anybody to get verified is because they're losing their credentialed privilege. Now they have to compete with millions of citizen journalists on equal footing that are not compromised by special interests. These gatekeepers of information that benefited from an absolute monopoly are being disintermediated in real time, so their ability to control narratives is severely weakened by individuals that can actually tell the truth. Now this is where it gets interesting, right? Since Walter Cronkite visited Vietnam in 1968 during the Tet Offensive and reported that the war was not going as well as Washington had been telling the American people, this also led Lyndon B. Johnson not to run for re-election. And it said the administrative state, aka the deep state, made it their mission to co-opt the legacy media. And that's what they've been doing all these decades. Goes on to say the Pentagon offered the corporate press exclusive access to carefully screen footage with the condition that they would only report favorably on any new conflicts the U.S. government became involved in. And I linked this video, and now, like, I'm sure you guys remember, but if you anytime you see the corporate media reporting on a war, you'll always see the same B-roll footage of a cruise missile being launched from a destroyer, or the famous one, which is like an F-18 being launched from an aircraft carrier. Ever wonder how they got that footage? Well, it says it in the top right-hand corner. The Pentagon gives it to them, but with conditions, of course. Goes on to say, this is why you will always see the same carefully selected B-roll footage being played on any of the legacy channels while they report on the Forever Wars. The capture of these so-called news institutions was so successful that they were able to convince the American public that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, which led to the invasion of Iraq under a false pretense. When Julian Assange leaked a video of an Apache gunship slaughtering innocent Iraqis, this once again contradicted the official narrative, and they made it their mission to make an example of them so that no other journalist would step out of line. The so-called free press was successfully co-opted by the state without the American people noticing, because the news, which in fact slowly became propaganda, came from the same trusted news networks that Americans relied upon for generations. Then came the pandemic, where it became incredibly clear that the news was no longer news, but in fact was an incredibly sophisticated truth control operation, which Nayib Bukele recently mentioned in his article for Bitcoin Magazine. The ability for millions of individuals to communicate directly with each other and circumvent proved truth terrifies them. The Biden administration tried in vain to establish a ministry of truth to hold on to their monopoly of information. But the good news, Anon, is that it seems we are winning the battle on information. By the day, more and more people are waking up. However, the battle to come to win the war will be much more intense because it will directly affect their source of power. Just how the internet disintermediated the state's monopoly on information, it is also disintermediating the state's monopoly on money. They will fight like never before to hold on to this power and privilege, but if enough individuals take personal responsibility and take self-custody, we will win, and there's nothing they could do about it. This is the separation of money and state. There will be a clear winner and a loser. It's Bitcoin or slavery, and there is no in between. So that is what we're living through. That is all what we're experiencing right now. We're experiencing the disintermediation of information, which is why they're having such a panic attack about Twitter, which is why they're attempting in vain to release these propaganda hit pieces. Think about how effective these hit pieces used to be. I think you guys forget. When they wanted to convince the American people that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, guess who it was? It was the New York Times. And they would release these pieces. But there was no social media. There was no ability for just individuals to, you know, put up a camera, put up a microphone, do their own research. And they were able to manipulate a ton of people. And now they're being frustrated because all of a sudden you have an entire country that's not listening to the control media. They're just opting out. But not only are they opting out, and they're using social media to do that also, but they're also opting out of the money system also. It's two things. And what if that system works? And then all of a sudden, when Max Kaiser says, El Salvador is this shining city on a hill, what do you think all those other countries in Central and Latin America are going to do? They're going to look at El Salvador as an example. And that is a very big problem for them. But unfortunately, their tools of control no longer work the way they used to. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to try to use them anyways. So, dude, what a clusterfuck. What a shit show. Fuck these people. All that being said, we do have to be fair. And there is something that I do want to talk about real quick before I get Opti's point, because I was almost about to forget to talk about it, right? And it is El Salvador's Bitcoin treasury, which I think this is a very easy problem to solve, but this is something that I do have to mention, right? Goes on to say, since making the cryptocurrency legal last year, the country has failed to officially declare any of its holdings. The public has had to rely on President Nayib Bukele's word, or more specifically, his tweets, to find out when he's buying Bitcoin, how much, and at what price. A human rights group in El Salvador has deemed the government's restrictive policy on public information regarding its Bitcoin accounts to be unconstitutional. I don't know how much I trust the human rights groups. We know that a lot of them are co-opted, but as a Bitcoiner, right, we always do say we have to stay objective here. Don't trust, verify, right? So I mean, that's a tremendous amount of trust, right? Now, I'm not saying that Nayib Bukele hasn't bought the Bitcoin or whatever. I'm just saying we have to take his word for it, right? So I mean, I'd prefer that not to be the case, but I also, dude, I don't know all the details. I don't know how that could be used against him, right? Which is another thing, right? You have the US government, which is openly hostile towards this guy. They're using their friends in the media to try to spin up a narrative. It's not working, right? So, I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't know how I feel about this situation. Opti, how do you feel, dude? How do you feel? Like, I do, but how do you verify that those proof of reserves are legit also, right? Look, I'll tell you what, guys. They made Bitcoin legal tender. Just how in my life I've adopted Bitcoin and made my life better. Opti's life, he adopted Bitcoin and made his life better. Anybody who I've met that they've transferred to a Bitcoin standard, the more years they've been on that Bitcoin standard, their life gets better. Their outlook on life, their finances, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's a coincidence that you're seeing the same thing happen in El Salvador. I think that's the Bitcoin effect. That's the effect of taking the orange pill. But at the same time, I do agree with that from No BS Bitcoin. You know, don't trust, verify. So it is alarming. Anyways, Opti, I want to get your thoughts. What are your thoughts on the propaganda hit piece and, you know, El Salvador should show proof of reserves?
Well, first and foremost, when you started going down the rabbit hole and connecting the dots, I was going to reference, like we always do, the Bukele's piece, Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid. And I'm glad that you read exactly from it because, you know, it's coming from, better yet, as Bitcoiners, as the average citizen out here, you know, you can take the legacy media's word for this, or you take what Bukele is saying. And like you said, you know, read both words and see which one you resonate with more and see what is more aligned with the truth. And we know, at least as Bitcoiners, at least as everyone that watches Simply Bitcoin with us, why they are attacking El Salvador is because, like you said, when the El Salvador experiment works out on the Bitcoin standard, the flames that are going to catch on in Central America and the third world countries, it's going to burn like wildfire, and they will, you know, not be able to stop this. And the cat is out of the bag, and we have the statistics to show that El Salvador has gotten better since the Bitcoin standard, since the legal tender laws. You know, say what you want about Bukele, but it seems like he has the people's backing him of El Salvador, and he's doing good for that nation. You know, as a first world Westerner, who am I to say what is the proper, you know, thing for him to be doing for his country? He has his country's and his people's, you know, life and perspective to worry about. And I'm just over here being an observer of like, yo, we're just Bitcoiners. We love to see that people are adopting Bitcoin, but you know, I don't know what's going on in the country. I've been down to El Zante. It's beautiful. It was safe when I was there. It was an awesome experience, and I can't wait to go back. But this is what we've been saying forever on the show. You know, these are propaganda pieces because when El Salvador succeeds, the game is exposed, and the game has been exposed. And obviously, they don't want other people to go down the Bitcoin path, the Bitcoin rabbit hole, because it exposes the whole game. And this is obviously narrative control. This is obviously narrative warfare. We say it all the time on the show. You know, we are in an information war. And the only thing that they have is the manipulation of truth. And so if you have all these legacy medias out here all pushing one message, whether it's true or not, it seems like the truth. Remember, I know everyone out there on Twitter has seen those videos of all the news anchors repeating the same line coming from everywhere in different media platforms, but they're all pushing the same narrative. It's almost like there's someone from high up top telling them what to believe and what to push. So obviously, Bitcoin exposes that game, and this is why they are so afraid of a little 6 million person country, is because they are on the Bitcoin standard. Bukele does have the love of his people, and he's doing what he can to better his country without the IMF, without, you know, the boot of the Western world and the central bankers. And so when this game is exposed, man, like the game and the race is on. And then to your point of the proof of reserves, you know, the whole proof of reserves thing, like the screenshot of whether you are holding these Bitcoin and these keys, I think it, as we've been shown in the last couple of months, is very easily manipulatable. So if to appease Bitcoiners, better yet, you know, maybe he signs a transaction with the UTXO.
But does he have to?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think so. Yeah. Again, it's back to the idea of like, look, he has his country's best interests in mind, and who am I to pry? Like, if he's just doing this to appease Bitcoiners, I don't think he has to make Bitcoiners feel better about this all. It's like he's either about what he's saying for his country or he's not, and it seems like he is trying to better his country. So does he have to do this little, you know, media play so that Bitcoiners get off his back? Like, I really don't think so. I think he's got bigger issues than to appease Bitcoiners on Bitcoin Twitter. He's got different attack vectors as the leader of a nation state, of a sovereign state, that like us average plebs don't even can't even consider, because we're just on Twitter.
Also, the attack vectors, right? The information that you're giving your enemies also is something to be concerned about. Again, like, I'm not trying to make excuses for this guy, but I'm really just comparing him to other world leaders, right? And I think Bukele is getting results, and I think whether that's either Trump or Biden in the U.S. or Trudeau in Canada, like, scumbags. Like, Bukele 2024, I'm a much bigger fan of Bukele, and I think he has the results, man. So, I mean, does that mean we should trust him? I don't know. I guess I would say I'm cautiously optimistic, and I do see the effects of a Bitcoin standard already having its benefits in El Salvador, right? And I do see this guy, you know, going on Tucker and speaking the truth, bro, which is extremely refreshing to hear that from a politician. So I don't know, man. I personally, I'm optimistic. I like what they're doing in El Salvador. I've heard many good things, and yeah, man, and fuck the media, dude. Fuck that propaganda, because that's really what it is. It's propaganda, but they're losing their grip, dude. They're not able to manipulate people the way they used to. And I think it literally puts the fear of God in them. And they're freaking out. They're freaking out. That's why they're reacting the way they are with Twitter. That's why they're, you know, that's why they tried to do the Ministry of Truth. You know, that's why they're releasing the propaganda hit pieces on El Salvador. That's why the ECB is just tweeting out, like, Bitcoin is bad. Like, those things would have worked 15 years ago. You would have seen it. Oh, the ECB is saying something. You know, and then you think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, but now it's like they have no morality to stand on. We all know they're fucking liars. All they know is they know how to print money. And it's like Wizard of Oz, man. Once you pull that cape, it's just a guy. It's an old guy in a suit that presses the P button on his keyboard. You know, anyways, woof, what a Friday episode, bro. Let's get to the culture. Let's do this.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack, with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right. So Guys, check out BitBlock Boom. It's a true Bitcoin conference network for fellow Bitcoiners in Austin, Texas, August 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th, 2023. It's not a shitcoin, NFT, or blockchain event. We talk about Bitcoin, Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. You could use the promo code all caps simply Bitcoin to get a major discount to BitBlock Boom. Anyways, Opti, what do you have for us today, bro?
All right, guys. I saw this on Twitter. It is by memeing Bitcoin, but I think it's a little deeper than just a meme. This is I know you guys have seen this on Twitter, that chat GPT, I believe it's called. It's like an AI that everyone is playing with. And I saw this and I not only do I find it interesting and kind of, you know, on the one hand, hilarious, but I think there's a lot of signal in this. And it's funny that an AI understands Bitcoin, or quote unquote understands Bitcoin, than the normies out there. So let's jump into this and then we will talk about it and see whether we can do a better job to explain Bitcoin to the NPCs out there. Anyways, artificial intelligence explains Bitcoin. So tell me the story of Bitcoin. And the AI goes, the world was in a state of chaos. Governments and central banks had lost control of the economy and inflation was skyrocketing. People were losing faith in their national currencies and were looking for a safe haven to protect their wealth. That's when a mysterious figure known only as Satoshi Nakamoto appeared on the scene. With his groundbreaking invention, he offered the world a new hope, a decentralized digital currency called Bitcoin. At first, many people were skeptical. They didn't understand how a digital currency could be a safe and reliable store of value. But Satoshi knew that by using complex cryptography and a decentralized network, he could create a currency that was immune to the manipulations of government and banks. Slowly but surely, people began to see the beauty and power of Bitcoin. They could hold and transfer their wealth without fear of inflation or confiscation. They could make transactions without the need for banks or credit card companies, and they could do all of this securely and anonymously without revealing their personal information. As the years passed, more and more people adopted Bitcoin, and the network grew stronger and more resilient. It became a force to be reckoned with, and governments and banks began to take notice. But even as Bitcoin gained mainstream acceptance, it never lost its original mystery and beauty. It remained a powerful and enigmatic symbol of freedom and innovation, a reminder that even in the darkest times, the human spirit can create something truly remarkable. Absolutely love this. I know, say you want what you want about the AIs and them taking over the roles of humans and all that, but guys, if you just take this for on the surface of its words and what it wrote, I think this is what we say all the time on Simply Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a tool for freedom. In the darkest times of the financial collapse of the last financial basically explosion, Bitcoin was created. In the midst of all the corruption in the modern world, Bitcoin was released by Satoshi Nakamoto. And this is why we're here to do what we do every single day, is to try to get this message across to people. And, you know, say what you want about the people out there that don't get Bitcoin. And I don't want to say that the AI fully understands what Bitcoin is, because it's coming out that this AI is just kind of rehashing words and just kind of mashing things together. But it's a beautiful, beautiful little piece right there that makes me as a Bitcoiner just feel good about everything that we're doing here, guys. Like it says at the very end, Bitcoin, even in the darkest moments, is a reminder that the human spirit can create something truly remarkable, guys. Like Bitcoin really is what it is. It's a tool for freedom. It's a way for us to transact without any middleman. It has eliminated the trust in financial systems. And as we covered in the news, the legacy media, the legacy financial institution, they are not to be trusted. They do not have your best interest in hand. And this is why we do what we do every single day as Bitcoiners, to try to explain to people out there why we Bitcoin, why they should Bitcoin, what the utility and use cases of Bitcoin are. And furthermore, just trying to get Bitcoin in their hands, telling them what we tell you guys every single day. Stay humble, stack sats, provide the value, and save in Bitcoin. Use the Bitcoin wallet so that you can escape and opt out of this dystopian hellhole that they are trying to force on us. And it's very simple. All you need is 12 to 24 words and you can opt out of the madness. Again, we ask you guys simple questions all the time, not for you guys that watch Simply Bitcoin consistently, but for the new people that come on, that happen to find the show, so that we can incept these ideas in people's minds of why are we being forced to use a currency, a money that is designed to steal from us? Why are they pushing inflation money on us? And why is there a small cabal of people telling us who we can and can't transact with? I think these simple questions can illustrate to people why we do what we do. But it's a simple message, guys. You know, 21 million hard cap, censorship resistant money, neutral money in a world, in a digital world that we don't need to trust a middleman. We don't need to we don't need to trust a banker anymore. Satoshi Nakamoto has freed us from the fiat yoke. And this is why we do what we do every day, because the world needs to know. And I don't want to say this AI understood, but man, it sure seems like it did understand. And maybe, just maybe, there is hope for the masses out there. Yes, like Becca says, wake up, people. Bitcoin is here. Bitcoin will fix this. And all you have to do is just save in Bitcoin. Amazing. Amazing. I don't know, Nico, what's your thoughts on this AI little sentence or little paper? And then, jump in, bro.
I think, I think that this line is going to be so blurred that we're not going to be able to tell the difference. Is it really an imitation? How would you know? Right. And it's just going to get better and better and better and better and better. So like, how would you know?
Dude, that thing writes better than I do.
Yeah, and totally write better than me too. So like, how would you know? You wouldn't know, right? But I think that, I'll tell you this, the ideas aren't so abstract that they're easy to imitate. Because I think that's really what AI does. It imitates human intelligence. But I think it's going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to tell the imitation.
I mean, some of that AI art is better than modern art right now.
Is the Bitcoin network Skynet?
Sheesh.
I don't know. I wish I had a Terminator clip to play. But yeah, I don't know. It was good.
It hit the nail on the head, but it's interesting.
It was good. Like you can't say that wasn't good. That was definitely good. So yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, bro.
Wait, this guy. Hold on. Shouts out to G Willis. Wait. Guys, don't lose the plot.
Diogenes, AIs can't think. They can only express what their programmers told them, but it's nice to see our intent is right. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, right? It's like, it's not critical thinking skills. It's really good imitation. But I mean, yeah. Anyways, what you had to pick the mind fuck for Friday, huh?
Hey, all right, dude, it's Friday show. I had
to. Let's get to the meme review. Kaboom!
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Rax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Rax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Rax.
Kaboom Rax. Kaboom.
All right, guys, you already know this is the meme review and tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. You guys are on the front lines. You guys are the frontline soldiers. Continue to spread the truth. Continue to get the calls of actions. Continue to get this Bitcoin message in front of people and also ridicule these fiat lunatics, these fiat psychopaths, because just look at this meme here. Shouts out to @lessfinggo. I know you guys saw this picture of SBF laughing when he was being questioned, and they're playing. There's this meme. They're playing on The Shining. So the FBF face with the axe, SBF accounting, and her being the customer deposits. Yeah, absolutely wrecked, guys. And I know I wasn't hanging out in the space last night, but man, from what I heard. That space was pretty atrocious of SBF basically claiming that he was trading paper Bitcoin and fake Bitcoin. Anyways, this next one is by Jim Bush Wright, and he goes, "We're going to win, hashtag Bitcoin." And I think I played, or I put up different variations of this on the show, and this is a Ninja Turtle meme with Master Splinter, and it goes, Master Splinter at first being the old guy, and it's Ron Paul, and the young little Ninja Turtles being young libertarians, and then now the Ninja Turtles all grown up.
Oh,
and Ron Paul being the small old guy he is. And with the Bitcoiners as the Ninja Turtles, guys, we are the superheroes out there. Bitcoiners are leaders in their societies. You know, change my mind about that. Anyways, this next one is by Art Designs by SF. And he goes, "Stop waiting for crap to shine. Go for the winner." And and it's a picture of a girl with she's turning into a skull. And she's
waiting for that shit to get
and
to
then
the
it's got a caption says waiting for that shit coin to moon. Yes, you are slowly dying. All right, this next one is by Memeing Bitcoin again. Shouts out to Memeing Bitcoin. They're doing good stuff over here. And it goes, one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. And we got you know, a few famous people here. And we got Pythagoras, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. We got Albert Einstein, E equals MC squared. We got Newton, F equals MA. What's mass? And what's it? Acceleration? I forget. High level dumb. And Satoshi Nakamoto, one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. Absolutely love that one. This next one, this is a post by Dylan LeClaire, but I think it's the Machinist. So shout out to you, bro. And he goes, amazing scene. Me watching the reporting on FTX obliterate any remaining trust normies had in the media. And it's a picture. I forget what this guy's name is from The Office, but just smiling through the window blinds. Yes, this is something me and Nico kind of talk about all the time. It is still quite amazing that people believe legacy media. I wonder what will have to happen for the facade to completely drop out and people realize that legacy media is bought and paid for. But hey, this is why we're here, and this is why we do what we do every single day. This next one is by Natoshi Sakamoto. Shouts out to you, bro. And he goes, fix the money, fix the world. And you can see some Guy Fawkes mask and Hal Finney and a honey badger and a Guy Fawkes mask in an astronaut suit. And you can see on the one side the darkness of the fiat world and the octopus that is the legacy system, the industrial banking complex, and then the bright orange future that Bitcoin will provide for us, where you can have a family and you can look into
Are they growing weed? Are those bags of weed?
Were they?
What did you choose, Opti?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're making this into something. It's it's a green pasture. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, bro. I expect the worst.
Triggered. All right, this next one. Again, I know some of you were in that SBF space, and in that space, SBF admits exchanges like FTX issue fake Bitcoin, and shouts out to our buddy Hoddle Tarantula, a Bitcoin miner, and he goes, been saying it forever, all caps, get your Bitcoin off the exchange. And it's a play on Paul Revere. Get your Bitcoin off the exchange, guys. Take Bitcoin into self-custody. This is the revolution. Yes, guys, I have a meme review score. And drop your meme review score in the chat, guys. So before we go on, here is my meme review score for today. It's the Simply Bitcoin keychain that Extemos gave me. Shouts out to you, bro. Appreciate it.
No.
No.
Craig is a potato.
All right, everybody. Yellow is taking over. Please put your meme score in the live chat, and we will get to it. All right, I'm back.
See, this is what you started. Look at the chat. You started all kinds of madness in here. I think I said it too late. We got the delay. We got to wait for the delay, but...
No, we got one. We got one. Oh, I just can't pull it up.
Hag.
Yeah, it looks like we can't pull it up. Oh, yeah, it's coming in.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
Max Trotter, I give the memes a Bahama Mama cocktail with paper straw. Z-Logic, I give those memes a big ass field of mysteriously nondescripted green plants. Crypto Potato, I give the memes a shave, Nico. Only if I lose weight and I'm not fat anymore, I will shave for you. But if I'm fat, it looks bad. All right.
Bushmaster, I give a score of face expression made by ETH bag holder, slowly realizing that his ETH is in staking limbo. Extemos, I give the memes a joint. And Yellow gives the memes an organic polyester cleaner. Bitcoin Becca, I give the memes Yellow's leftover sandwich. Old school millennial, SBF's only fan discount code, bankrupt. Opti's neglected and hungry Tamagotchi pet dog. Score a can of virtual dog food.
Never had a Tamagotchi. Last fake news. One,
MG Smith. I give the memes Epstein's missing fortune. Oh, last but not least, Diogenes. We have time for one more. I give the memes a
force equals mass acceleration. Yeah,
and that force being proof of work.
Let's go. As you can tell, I'm a left side of the bell curve Bitcoiner.
All right, guys, don't forget to join Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. It's absolutely free. You got to go to www.simplybitcoin.news. It's the blog. It's the written version of this show. Also, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's a party in there. Go to www.t.me/simplybitcointv. Shout out our awesome writers to Rustin, Paul, Zach, Winekiss. You guys absolutely kill it. And also, check out our clothing sponsor, representltd.com. They're awesome. They make some of the best Bitcoin merch. Opti, show it off. Show it off. Show off our merch, bro. Bitcoin, Simply Bitcoin in the back. I'm wearing the camo hoodie. It's Nico's favorite.
I think this is a limited drop, though.
It's all limited drop.
I think this one's not on the website.
Well, it's because they didn't get it fast enough. Guys, you got to go to Simply. You use the promo code simply-bitcoin to get a 10% discount off representltd.com. Also, make sure to subscribe to our audio podcast. It's growing, and it's thanks to you guys. Love you all. Make sure to check us out on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain. Shout out to everybody who streamed us Fountain.
I got it. All right, I got the receipts, guys. All right, shouts out to all you guys on Fountain. You didn't do
the weekly.
No, I got it. I got them all.
Okay, look at Opti.
I didn't know how to work Fountain. So anyways, shouts out to at BTC Bots 95 Sats to boost that signal. Shouts out to M Dual Sky, and he goes 5,149 sats, and he goes epic episode, and yeah, Max crushed that one. Thanks again, fellas. Value for value. This next one is at Siggy 47, boost us 95 sats, and he goes, keep up the good work, but don't trust Elon. Yeah. This next one, Barn Miner 475 sats. He goes, like the content. Oh, not a fan of KYC AML sponsors. If you shill Swan, make listeners aware they will have the UTXO track forever. Thank you very much. This is something we will talk about again on the culture for you people. BTC Bots again gave us some prayer hands, 95 sats on the Beauty On episode. Go check that one out. At Petrie, 1,425 sat boost. He goes, kick ass episode again on the Beauty On episode. And we got some more. Nick's Bitcoin is amazing, 9,500 sats. Let's go. He says, thank you on the Harvard Central Banks by Bitcoiner Go Broke episode. Darth Coin, very good one, 475 sat boost on the Matt Hill Simply Bitcoin IRL. Another one for the Matt Hill Simply Bitcoin IRL Funkster. Thank you for that episode. We got the Wild Hustle, great rip on the Eric Kayson one. And then in Wild Hustle again, need that damn book, Eric. And this... Shouts out to Vake, 2,375 sat boost on Opti's This Is Fine special. I suspect Opti has a crack cocaine addiction. No, it's a coffee addiction. Next one, at Sound Pixel, big up to the Brandon Quidham episode. Thank you for the sats, guys. Again, big up. Simply keep it up on the Nico Jilt episode. Thank you, Sound Pixel. Got all the sats in here. And then the last one, at Zeka Boy. I want a home heating ASIC. Sorry, it's cut off a little bit, but I'll figure out how to do this completely so that we can just post it up. Apparently, I got to connect it to my node, so we'll see what's good.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us for the last of the week, Simply Bitcoin. Hope you guys had an awesome week. Enjoy your weekend. We love you all. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Consider sharing this video. We love you all. Enjoy the weekend, like I said, and we will see you all back on Monday, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll also be dropping shorts and clips throughout the weekend so you guys get your dose of Simply Bitcoin. We'll catch you all later.